I'd appreciate it if we just carry on with it. The next presentation is an expected presentation. Chris announced it, it's on the program. It's an update by CNN Nick, and I have Tanya Ling from CNN Nick to give us a presentation as our lunch sponsor. The lunch was good, by the way. Thank you.
Thank you all here. Come back from the lunch. Hope this is a wake-up presentation. Yeah. Actually, it's just a brief update of CNIC, what I have done recently. And two parts. One about our recent activities. The second part is about our ID and CCTLD preparedness. We held our first domain name industry convention in June of this year. Actually, according, I'd like to share with you some data just found, just released at this domain name industry convention. It is said that there are about 100,000 employees in this industry in China, and the total market volume is around 4 billion RMB. You can see from this chart, Chrissy was there, and Teresa and Tina Dam are also invited to attend the meeting. And during this meeting, CNIC just signed an agreement with ISC. We agreed to participate in the Band 10 development. Okay. And this August, we held the APTLD Beijing meeting. I'm sure a lot of our colleagues here have been there. Yep. This is a quite successful meeting. I'm sure everybody have a very good time over there. Oh, this is a good picture taken. some of our colleagues visit the CNIC office. And then shortly after the APTLD Beijing meeting, CNIC held the APTLD 28th open policy meeting. And also signed an agreement, a cooperation agreement with APNIC on the development and the promotion of IPv6. Actually, CNIC has got a detailed plan on the national plan, actually a national plan on the promotion of IPv6. Okay, let's come to the second part about our ID and CCTLD preparedness. We just released a public test on the .china. Actually, we carried out this test this April. One of the questions for the internet users, would you like to use .china? According to the feedback, there are around 95% indicated that they would like to use .china as its ID and CCTLD. Okay, this is the second chart. It's about the DNS server availability public test. According to the test result, around 81.2% DNS servers is now IDN available. But still, there are around 18% failed the test. It looks like they have to be patched in a very short time. Okay. This chart shows that there are 9 nodes for .cn all over the world. Among them, 9 of them are at the domestic nodes, at the back end, and 3 overseas nodes. One is in Korea, which is hosted by KISA, and the second one is hosted in DNIC. The third one is hosted by Newstar. Yep. We uploaded our name servers in this June. We just purchased a new equipment and get a new configuration of our domain name servers, which could make that ID available. Okay. According to the test and according to the preparation, looks like we're fully ready for the launch of ID in CCTUDs. Actually, we participated in the ID in CCTUD fast track test, system test, and it turns out the result is quite good. Still, there are some issues on variants. In our Chinese opinion, there's a point I'd like to point out. In Chinese opinion, that the simplified Chinese and the traditional Chinese is sort of like the uppercase and the lowercase of ASCII words in our language. So, which means if you just block one of them, that will deprive some part of Chinese users of the right to use the same meaningful words, the same strings. So our proposal, and in fact it's one of our practices, is that just delegate Chinese string and its variants to the same ID in CCTU manager. And on the ID in CCTUD manager side, we will, through a registration policy, and if a registrant registers just one of the names, it will be given at the same time a name of the variant strings, and these two names will be bundled together on the policy side. So politically said, this is just one registry entry only. So we proposed this proposal to ICANN, and hopefully this could adopted as the variant management. Okay, that's pretty much what I'm going to say. And thank you. And any questions? No. Oh. looks like everybody are not awake from their lunch. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I think let's move up straight to the next presentation by Wolfgang on the European Summer School. Just make a short presentation, and then we'll get on with the session on the agenda, which is the sharing resources session.
Thank you very much for giving me the opportunity to speak a little bit about the European Summer School. The reason why I do it here again and again is also because I got a lot of support from CCTLD registries for that, and this is also a way to say thank you for the CCTLD registries who are involved and helped to make this happen. You know, the background is that there is no, on the university level, there is no internet governance curricula available. So that means if a student wants to study internet governance, he has a problem what to do. So, and we discovered this in the working group on internet governance in the United Nations. We saw some exceptions. There are some courses in Harvard, Oxford, in Atlanta Tech. In Europe, it's difficult to study it, and also in other universities around the globe, you will have difficulties to find a place where you can get all the knowledge which is needed to follow ICANN meetings, the IGF, and all the other issues related to internet governance. So that means within the context of the World Summit on the Information Society and the establishment of GIGANET, the Global Internet Governance Academic Network, we created also the Summer School on Internet Governance and had in Meißen in Germany a pilot project successfully in 2007. And we continue now, we have already the second one in 2008, the third one in 2009, and the fourth one will take place in 2010. Meanwhile, the concept has spread around the globe. We had a first South American summer school in 2009 this year, because the globe has two summers, one in the north, one in the south. So, and we had it in March, and we will have a second South Summer School in March in 2010 in Sao Paulo. So that means in Latin America we go to different places. We had the first Arabic Summer School in Cairo last year, end of June, and we will have a second Arab Summer School probably in Tunisia in 2010, and I use also the opportunity to be here in Seoul to discuss with various partners why not to start an Asian version of the summer school, and I hope this will happen in then 2010 or 2011. So we had a very good program in the 2009 summer school, and this is the faculty, and if you look at the names, the well-known names, and one of the success elements of the summer school is that we have hired faculty members who are really doing the real things in ICANN, in IGF, and in other internet governance bodies like Avria Doria, Anne Meulenkamp gives a lecture about IP address management. So Milton Müller, Bill Twaig, Janet Hoffman are there. John Bing, the lawyer from Oslo, was a GNSO council member and gives the lecture about the legal dimension. Olga Cavalli, who is now the vice chair of the GNSO council, gives a lecture of internet governance and development. And then we have a huge section also on ccTLD management. And last year we had Giovanni from .eu, we had Stefan Welzel from DENIC, Simon from .nl, Philipp Grabensee from .info, and Dirk Krzyzanowski, who plans to have .berlin, and also Hartmut Glaser, who spoke about .br. So I think this is really a place where you get in 48 hours, so a full week, relative good overview about theoretical elements, but also very practical policy elements, like the role of governments. We had Bernard de la Chapelle, Michael Niebel from the European Commission, and Markus Kummer as governmental speaker there, and also the very practical things, you know, how to manage IP addresses and domain names. So the good thing is that we have a very good response. We had in 2009 115 applications from around the globe for the 25 places we had. And so you see they are coming from everywhere, from Africa, Asia, Europe, and South America. The fellows, you cannot read the names, but if you are interested, then you can get it. What is the leitmotif of the summer school? We have two mottos. One is training to internet governance leaders, not users of tomorrow. Sorry, it has to be leaders here. Yeah. Leaders of tomorrow, and indeed, fellows of the summer school are now already members of the GAC, like Nelly Stoyanova from Bulgaria, or the guy from Saudi Arabia who was a fellow of our summer school. They are in the GNSO Council, the ALAC, and also the multi-stakeholder advisory group from the Internet Governance Forum. And the second slogan is learning in a multi-stakeholder environment. That means fellows coming not only from universities, but they are also coming, you know, from junior positions in governments, in the private sector, ccTLD registries, and NGOs. And invite you also to send young people from your registry, you know, to come and to use this opportunity also to have to create a lot of contacts. For instance, for the first time last year, .cz from the Czech Republic, Oldrich, did send a person. And I think it was a very useful visit, as she reported back. And so that means this is a good opportunity, really, to train your own people and to bring them better into this international context. So the and this is then the, let's say, the final slide. I want to say thank you to all our supporters, in particular to DENIC, who helped from the very early day to make this happen, to RIPE, NCC, to ZIDEN, and UNINET, the two silver sponsors, and then also to all the others who help us to make this happen. And we have also this so-called fellowship program, because a lot of students cannot afford to participate. And so we have invited some ccTLD registries to help us with to finance one or two students and to enable that. For instance, Chris Despin from AUDA supports always two students from Asia. Last year we had the ccTLD manager from Mongolia who was in the course there, and this was very helpful and a big eye-opener for her. And so we are looking really for key persons which then can be brought to the summer school with the help of certain ccTLD registries, and also AFNIC and NIC.at and others have helped us to fill the 25 slots we have available for the summer school. So, and if you have any questions, send us an email or go to the website. And I thank you very much that I got this 5 minutes, and hope to see people from your community soon next year in Meissen or in Sao Paulo or elsewhere. Thank you.
Wolfgang, thank you very much. I don't know if there's a question or two that I should quickly take if there are any questions. No, it doesn't look like it. Thank you very much, Wolfgang. We will move to the next session. Then, if I may ask the speakers, or the presenters rather, to come forward. Leslie, where's Henri? There is Henri. And Peter. Oh, Wim is coming, not Peter, because I haven't seen Peter sitting here. Wim will be making a presentation on behalf of Center. Just a brief background on this session, how it came about. We had in the CCNSO a working group that Leslie Cowley was chairing. I think it was it effectively was closed in Sydney, yep. Called a participation working group, looking at trying to improve participation of CCTLDs in the CCNSO, and basically to encourage CCTLDs also, not only just to be members, but to be visible, to make a contribution. One of the recommendations that stood out from that working group, recommendations that was sent to that working group, was that we needed a session where CCTLDs could present about what resources they could share with others. It is an important topic, particularly for developing CCTLDs or CCTLDs in the developing world. I come from Africa, so I know that it has been such a session becomes very, very beneficial to a couple of CCTLDs in our region. The question was, what resources in particular could be shared that could be helpful to CCTLD development? Some of the areas that have come up, obviously, and that they are covered here in any case. Excuse me. Not just the sharing of our registry systems, which we so much cover. You know, we know what options we have in open source registries that could be shared, but to look at resources broadly in terms of policy. Is there anybody who could have some things to share when it comes to policy? Because we are all running CCTLDs eventually. Our policies overlap to some level, and it would be pointless for me to try and draft all the policies from scratch when .no has some policies that basically suit me and I just need to tweak them for 20%, you know. So what kind of policies could be shared? What's on research that could be shared? We had an interesting session here on marketing, and we had .mx and .ph presenting some interesting stuff, you know, on what they've done in terms of their research, and I think I will learn more, at least from the methodology point of view from them. And then the issues of security again, you know, that we see a steady increase in DNSSEC implementation and adoption. I believe many CCTLDs have a bit of question on, you know, where is DNSSEC going? How is it best implemented? Who among those who have played a leading role in DNSSEC implementation is willing to share something? So it's basically a topic that covers that, and issues of dispute resolution. So without any further ado, I have my three presenters here. I will take them unless I'm wrong. Who do we have first? Yeah. Okay. So we will have Wim, the communications manager of Center, to make a presentation on behalf of Center. Wim.
Well, welcome. I think this is my first presentation ever at the CCNSO. So hello, everybody. I'm Wim, colleague of Peter. Normally, Peter is sitting in front, and I'm somewhere in the back and walking out, escaping from time to time to see other interesting meetings. The presentation about sharing resources and sharing marketing resources, it's... Well, I was thinking this morning, I should have done my presentation before that, because it's actually what you have been doing this morning, showing what's going on and what different registries do. I will just explain how we started to think within Center a couple of months, let's say a year ago maximum. What can we do about marketing, and how can we help our members? If you do the second as a second person presentation of your organization, of course you don't have to present it anymore. So, center, you all know by now. Continuing the discussion this morning, before starting to look into marketing and what we are doing, I really would like to read you the different definitions that I have found just in 5 minutes on Google, because it's important to step out of the idea, okay, we talk about marketing, we talk about just campaigns and just some nice leaflets. There's more, and there's more to discuss on. And I don't go further in this topic, but it's just interesting to know that okay, it's more than just that. And if you talk about it, like we have seen this, also this morning, it's important to realize that. The second thing, it also came this morning in one or two presentations. We work in the domain name business. We all know what they are, but don't ask it to your mom. Don't ask it to your friends, because if they asked me, what are you working? What are you doing for a living? And I start to explain after two sentences, I get a nice, oh, that's interesting. And where did you go on holiday? So they just don't know. And we can't forget that we're working in an industry with some kind of hidden, hidden tool, hidden product. So sharing resources between registries in the field of marketing, how can we help? How can we help them as center, as a regional organization? Well, I would say, let's start just doing what we are used to do and what we do the best. Bring the people together, inform about different marketing campaigns of the different members, facilitate the information sharing, collect the information, just look around and say, okay, I think like Gabby did also for this, looking, okay, .ph is doing a campaign, .sc is doing a campaign. Let's invite these people to a meeting and let's present what they are doing. That's why we started to put marketing teams on the agenda of our meetings. One of the workshops we have at Center is the administrative workshop. I think I have to say it was Gabby's little baby when she was still working at Center. And I'm now responsible for the upbringing, and I think the workshop is still doing well and says hello to you. But we started to put topics on the agenda, but that part marketing became bigger and bigger and bigger. And the problem is you mix it up with marketing people and non-marketing people. So you end up with half of the agenda. People are saying, well, it's interesting to look at, but it's not really useful for us. So then we started thinking, well, not we, because the people in the meeting room started to give suggestions. Why not bring just the marketing people together? Once or two times, I think we now did it one time. We had a meeting just before the summer in Amsterdam. Was kindly hosted by .nl, and we have another meeting next week in Stockholm, hosted by .sc, just to bring the people that are working in marketing, that see marketing as their more or less daily business or daily task, let them sit around the table, discuss, and exchange ideas. So what do we do at that workshop? Sharing of ideas, sharing of best practices, sharing of experiences. That is the same as we did this morning, and I think everybody walks out with some ideas. We'll pick something up and we say, okay, if we discuss back at home some campaign, some marketing, or some other stuff, maybe I will think about it and we'll discuss it with my colleagues. Other things we do at the meeting, we also, and probably we will present at one of the next meetings, we think about, okay, can we work together to create on kind of tools to create awareness on CCTLDs as a product. And we are working on the setting up of a marketing repository. I think maybe that last point is what really fits in the idea of sharing, or is close to the idea of sharing the resources, sharing the knowledge, what you are doing. Because you can't really share like you share a software packet. You can't just copy and paste a campaign. But what we are planning is to set up a marketing repository, a kind of database where members can consult when they are putting together their own campaigns, when they are starting to think about their marketing initiatives. How will this be? That will not be the collection of all the presentations we had on marketing the last 10 years or at Center. No, we are trying to streamline that in one page info sheets for every initiative, where you have just on one page what's the campaign about, what are the tools that are used, what's the evaluation given by the registry itself, would they do it again, wouldn't they do, would they change it, an assessment of the tools they used, for example, they had an online or a TV commercial, but would they do that again or not, the costs, also some information about did they use an agency, what agency did they use, how was the contact, and of course important, the contact person at the registry. So if you say, okay, that's interesting, and maybe we would do something, would like to do something similar, you have the contact person that you can ask. Can you help me? Do you have some tips, some things that we have to look at? The thing we are now working on is the requirements for the repository. I mean, we have to find out how we can make that. All the information that we are collecting and start to collect is accessible and bring it somewhere on our members part of the website in a structured and well-structured way so that the different initiatives are tagged, categorized, that if you say, okay, I want to do something on an online campaign, that you can just look in the database and get some examples from, okay, this are the kind of initiatives taken by our colleagues. So this should be more or less the end result. We plan to go live by the end of this year, so there's a lot of work to do. And, a lot of things to discuss at our meeting next week, so I'm looking forward to it. That was my presentation. I don't know if there are any questions. Margarita.
Thank you. I think it's a very good idea to gather people in charge of marketing and commercial things. And the meeting that you show in for November is only for the people that belong to the all the organizations of that are in Center, or maybe we can participate from outside, for example.
No, normally our workshop meetings are for Center members only. So. But I have to add, normally more in general, we put all presentations that are given at our meetings are publicly available. So except if the member asks, sometimes members give a presentation, okay, these are our plans for the next year, but please don't put it open on your website because we don't want the whole world to get the news already.
Thank you very much, Wim. Our next presentation will. Sorry. But before I go to the next presentation, I didn't hear you mention the surveys that Center shares with the other regional TLDs. That's one important resource, by the way, that we share.
You mean the among the regional organizations or within center?
No, within the regional organizations.
Well, we are planning to set up a survey to and some information. Well, I didn't mention it because well, I just kept myself to the topic marketing. So.
Okay. Thank you, Wim. Henri, you're almost ready. I'll give it to you then straight away.
Good afternoon, everybody. My name is Ondřej Filip. I am from CZNIC.cz registry. Before I start, I need to ask, somebody put a paper cup here, and there is written Shirt Planet. I don't know if that was on purpose or that was just some sign of decision about shirt resources. No one knows. Okay. I would like to show you these three quite concrete and specific areas that all registry is sharing some resources or is offering to share some resources with the others. They are all from a technical side because I expected that some of my colleagues will cover the others. So this will be more about the technical, how to really save money, how to share some resources on the technical operations and the things related to that. So the three areas are identified, and there are more than those three, but I just pick those three, are the registration system, and Vika in the beginning speech, in the opening speech, mentioned that's something that is widely presented mainly on the tech day usually. There are also some possibilities how to save money in the day-to-day registry operations, like I specifically thinking about the DNS system. And also, all the registry do some research and development, and some of the outputs are important. We as .cz also uses outputs of the others, so I would like to show you what we are doing, what we are working on, and what we are happy to share. For those usually attend the tech day, this will be probably a little bit boring, and some others also know our own registration system, so I will be just brief on this one slide. We at CZNIC, I think 3 or 4 years ago, started development of a registration system which is called FRED. And because we are in the situation that we needed some registration system, we wanted to change from old one to new one, and we had nothing that time, so we decided to develop a new one. And we were thinking about the others that would be in the same situation, so we licensed it under general public license, so now it's free, open source, and it's we offer this registration system for other registries that do not have their own or that are looking for some other possibilities. What we do, we usually support those registries on mailing list. And also sometimes we offer some limited training in our facilities, and sometimes if we are asked to, we can also fly to the destinations where the registries will be placed in, and we are doing training there. So the registry, of course, is used for .cz, but we have also implementation in Angola, Tanzania, and other two countries, Costa Rica and Albania, are working to deploy it, and it will be deployed shortly. So that's something we are offering for sharing, but it's, of course, not just one-way process, because those people who are adapting those systems found some bugs, because every software has bugs, and are sending us feedbacks, and that's also very valuable for us. If you would like to know more information about FRED, look at fred.nic.cz, and there is, you can download it and test it. So that's one area we are quite successful in the cooperation, and both sides are quite happy with that. Another things we are doing for sharing resources is the DNS system deployment. There are two areas that we are working in. First, some of the small registries in countries that are not very rich or that have just a few registrations have problems to deploy some reasonable DNS system, and they are looking for some options for some hosts that would sponsor their DNS operations. So, for example, we are hosting doing secondaries for Tanzania, Angola. We used to do secondary for .me before it would transfer to Afilias. And I'm just telling it to you as an open offer. If you are small registry and you cannot afford to do your own DNS system, just let us know and we will be happy to help you with some of the nodes. But we also cooperate with the developed registries, with the registries that have enough resources to do their own DNS system. And such example is our cooperation with Chile, with .cl. We exchange servers, or better say, we both parties bought servers in all countries. We bought Intel system and then gave access to the other ones. So that was the easy way how to deploy a DNS node in the Chile. We use Anycast technique for that. And we didn't spend much money, and I think we both are happy. Right, Margarita? Yeah. It was very smooth cooperation. The people in Chile were very professional. So that's how we very cheaply actually did our Anycast instance in Chile. And it was that saved a lot of money for us. And the last area I would like to talk about, and I have some demonstration, is the R&D, the development or research and development we do. As you know, some the larger registries mainly have enough resources and they have some surplus, and they are usually looking how to invest those money in something that makes sense and that could be beneficial for the internet, for the others. And we do the same, so we created a department called CZNIC Labs, and we employ a few people that do some projects that should be beneficiary for the local community, but also generally for the good of the internet. And I would like to show you just the three examples of such projects. One of them is DNSSEC Firefox plugin. Why we did it, actually. The main problem how to communicate DNSSEC for the end users is that it's invisible. If you are explaining in DNSSEC and they get the feeling they understand it, but now they see that they cannot see it. They have no chance to see whether the domain is signed or how it's signed, whether it's broken or not. So we decided to... they also cannot check whether their system is supporting DNSSEC, like their ISP provider. So we decided to prepare a plugin to Firefox that shows you that some domain is signed. If you install that plugin it and you go to some DNSSEC signed domain, it will show you a key. If it's properly signed and there is no problem, it shows you a green key. If there is some problem, which may, for example, happen that the secure domain is referring to some unsecured one, then the green is then the key is red. And if it's there is no DNSSEC at all, then the key disappears. So that's very easy. Everybody understands that if he or she sees a green key, that everything is okay and it's happy. And that's the way how to spread some basic knowledge about DNSSEC to the users. You can download this, it's in alpha version now, but you can download it from our web pages at labs.nic.cz. And if everything would work, I would like to try to show you the live demonstration. That's usually a problem. I don't like doing live demonstration on and of course, I cannot move my browser to the screen. And as usual, I have some technical problems. I cannot somehow move my browser to the next screen. I will try it later, maybe. Another thing that we do is the DNS sector tester. It's actually a tool that would be helpful for one quite important thing. Many users of the internet are connected by some DSL devices, by some small routers, They are very cheap, and the way they deal with DNS is usually very problematic, and that can be especially a problem when in DNSSEC deployment, because if you, for example, are moving resolvers as close as possible to your computer, to your application, for example, you want to install DNSSEC aware resolver to your computer, you will find that because of the wrong implementation of DNSSEC, either NAT or resolving in those devices, you can go to problems that DNSSEC assigned zones will not be available or something like that. And we wanted to identify those devices to create a database of those devices. So therefore, we wrote an application which you can download from the pages www.dnssec/tester.cz. And this application is able to test your device and tell you whether this device is good, whether it supports DNSSEC correctly, or at least can be somehow tweaked to support DNSSEC. And also, this application sends a report, if you want to all central database, so we can collect information about those devices and also speak to the vendors and ask them to in the future firmware upgrades to include the DNSSEC functionality, or at least to fix some problems. This application is on the pages. If you look at it, it's in Czech and English. The pages, the information pages, and the download page. However, it can be translated to any other languages and can be under any other domain of you and in design you want to. So it's not just. It has to look like this. So that's also something we are offering to the others to share. I will not try to play with demo because I'm sure it didn't work. So the last thing we are doing, and it's really just short example because it's not DNS related, is that we are doing another projects related to the internet, good of internet, and one of them is the routing daemon. It's some technical thing. I don't know how many of you are familiar with routing, but it's this routing daemon is more general tool than just for DNS. However, we use it for example for Anycast DNS clouds, so it can be also very handy for the DNS registries. But very happy from this to the internet exchange points because they use it as a root servers. For example, Czech1.cz or LONAP based in London. And that's also something we are offering, but it's probably more go beyond the DNS community. And you can look at it at bird.network.cz. So I'm sorry, I couldn't show you the live applications, but if you are interested, come to me, and if I will switch off the projector, I'm sure it will work. So thank you very much for the opportunity to present, and that's all.
Thank you, Andre. In the interest of time, I think we're a bit struggling with time. Can I take a question, if there's any, just a single question at least, for Andre? There's no question. Then we'll proceed to Leslie.
I can save you some time. I haven't got any demonstrations or slides. So. I'd just like to cover briefly why Nominet's involved in this. I'm Leslie. For those of you that don't know me, I'm the CEO of Nominet, which is the .UK registry. And I'd like to just briefly explain why Nominet's involved in this session, why I'm involved in this session, give you some ideas about resources that maybe we could share, and also say, I think we could be a lot better at this. Okay, so why Nominet's involved? We're not involved because there's a grand plot to make everyone like Nominet. I'm not sure many of you would like to be like Nominet at times. But basically, we are involved because what we think we're here for is to make a positive difference. To make a positive difference to people in the UK and UK internet users, but also to help shape and make a positive difference to the development of the internet. And as part of that, we're here to learn, just as many of you are here to learn as well. I got involved because, as Vika said earlier, I chaired the participation working group. And as part of that task, we did a survey asking you what you wanted from the CCNSO, what would give you the most value for traveling all of these miles and spending all of these hours in the CCNSO. And of course, there's vital policy work, but one of the other points that you made is that you are looking for information from other registries, looking for ideas and getting up to date with latest developments. And so this is where the idea of shared resources came from. So in terms of resources, well, there's lots of things that we already share, of course. It will be very familiar that Nominet produces a domain name industry report, as do a couple of other people in this room. And you can get those on the Nominet website, and we produce them each year looking at UK statistics and worldwide statistics. We also publish, as many of you do too, monthly registrations about growth of the register, service turnaround times, etc. And we do quite a bit of technical sharing too. And we also share quite a bit about the dispute service that we offer. Hopefully, those are quite familiar shared resources, I think, in this community. But there are other resources too that possibly we could benefit from sharing. Information about how you deal with customers, how you deal with registrars, how you deal with registrants. Looking at policy development processes, for example. How does yours compare with mine? What could we learn from each other? Looking at communication, we've talked today about marketing, which is great. But there's also a lot about communication. What's the best practice in terms of communicating with the end users or with registrars, if you have them, of course. Nominet as an organisation has grown very quickly, like many of you in this room, over the years. And so that's meant we've had to put in procedures and processes for dealing with staff. There's now 120 Nominet staff. And I know I've shared with some of you our staff manual, for example, and it's much easier to crib from somebody else's, to nick the good bits and leave the bad bits from somebody else's manual than it is to write one of those from scratch, I assure you. We also do a best practice challenge award scheme. Now, some people have shamelessly copied that. Chris? And... But there is some learning from running an award scheme. How do you organise something like that? How do you get the local internet community involved that we're happy to share? We've also set up a charitable foundation recently because we are profitable and we're a not-for-profit, and we gift money to that foundation. And so we have some interesting experiences and resources that we could share from that work. We're happy to share materials electronically. We also share materials by people coming to visit, or we can come and visit you, of course. But a lot of the attraction is coming to see somebody like Nominet in operation, and so we regularly host visits. If any of you are transiting through the UK or can really justify coming to the UK, we'd be more than happy to host the visit. But my proposition today is that a lot of the sharing is linked to which meetings you attend and who you currently know within our community. And that's great if you've been around for a while and you get to know a lot of people. But if you're new to this community, that can be quite a challenge. And my proposition is we ought to create some sort of resource area of the CCNSO website, where one can put links to materials, hopefully not give Gabby too much more work, but actually where you can find materials, where you can be directed to links. And I'd also like to propose we could do some sort of resource dating service. Now, bearing in mind my comments earlier about marketing materials, I need to be careful what I mean about a dating service. And in that context, I'm talking about the CCNSO and the regional organisations being better at getting people together, pairing up people who have information with people who are seeking information. And I think as a community, we could be much more proactive in achieving that. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Leslie. The dating service is a good proposal. Do we have any questions for Leslie? There's one from Mary from .ng.
My name is Mary. I'm from .ng. And thank you for the sharing. And just a quick one on the visits. Will it be the other way? Can we organize for Leslie to visit Nigeria and have and talk to our registrars? Just a quick one.
Yes, of course, but this is not some sort of tactic to get a grand world tour.
That would be at the cost of nominee, not at the cost.
I knew there was a catch, yes. Yeah. If we can fit something in, happy to do that.
Any further questions? No, we do not. We're about to close this. Thank you, Leslie. I think you've touched an important point, and I think Kabi also has an important point that she wants to see, is that we should try CCTLDs for all the shared resources we have or we want to share, want to update the community about, that we submit them to the CCNSO Secretariat so that there could be a repository or a web page where we could access that information. And then, of course, the dating service. Thank you.
Okay, last session. Lucky last. It's on DNSSEC. It's under the table. DNSSEC in the root zone. Richard Lamb is going to present it, and the projector works. It's always good. And so, Richard, over to you.
All right, thank you. I'll try to keep this short. This was a presentation that we've been giving, but I'm going to focus on what's important to you guys and kind of skip some of the deep technical geeky stuff out of this thing. Let me first make that a full screen, if I know how to do that. Okay. Well, I'm going to go with this. Hopefully you guys can read this. All right, so I'm the DNSSEC project program manager at ICANN, and I'm going to describe some of the efforts and where we are, the status of signing the route with DNSSEC. First of all, this is an effort that has been a joint effort, and it's been very cooperative and actually very, very, very interesting. We're taking requirements that Department of Commerce has laid down, and VeriSign and ICANN have been working closely and intensely over the past few weeks, months, to get a signed route out by, and you may have heard this, by July 1 of next year. Some of the things that we're really focusing on this deployment, this system, is transparency. Everything that we're doing, the design, software is open source, the design of the system is all going to be published. Actually, in the next few weeks, you'll see a lot of these documents published for those of you who are interested in the details, including the specification documents. Hopefully, people can use some of these documents for their implementations of DNSSEC. Some of the documents that surround DNSSEC are practices and procedures documents. DNSSEC has a lot of similarities with certification authorities, SSL certs, and so we've borrowed and leveraged a lot of the work that's already done there. And so basically that means to convince the public to trust you, you publish exactly how your processes and practices work. And so that this is part of the requirement. You get audited once a year on that to make sure you're doing what you said you were going to do. And so this is a way to build trust. Okay, I said it's going to be audited. We'll have a third-party auditor, one of the big international accounting firms, do this once a year. There's a standard listed there. If you're familiar, again, with some of the SSL business, we're going to use something called SysTrust, WebTrust, but it's a standard auditing regime. And again, we're looking to try to get as much kind of leverage from existing practices like this out there. It's a high security system. High impact is a terminology that just happens to be inside some of these documents, these public documents from the National Bureau of Standards in D.C. High impact means it's a system where if it goes down, people's financial situations, it affects revenue, it affects mission critical projects, so it's going to be treated with the utmost importance there. Roles and responsibilities, some of this may not be a surprise. One of the requirements was that we continue with the current model that we have. So ICANN, as IANA Functions Operator, would manage the handling of the keys that TLD operators would hand into the route. They would be submitted to us in very much, at least initially, submitted to us very much in the same way that NS record changes and things like that get submitted now. We will also manage the root key, and I'll get into exactly how we do that in a moment. So this doesn't change. We verify the request, and we send updates through DOC, and it goes through the usual process. Department of Commerce does what it has done before with NS records. It authorizes any changes to the route, including these records, these keys that TLD operators will be handing us to put into the root zone file. Also, anytime we generate a new root key, there'll be an authorization from NTIA. Let's see. Yes. All right, and VeriSign, as the publisher or root zone maintainer, will actually be running the zone signing key. This is the secondary key that is used to sign the zone a couple times a day, and so that's something that has to be near and close to the actual root zone file, and that will be their process. There's an overall diagram. Again, not too different. TLD operator submits the DS records to us. We will have soon a automated system, as Kim and others have, I'm sure, talked about. I won't go into that. The only difference here is, since there are two keys in DNSSEC, there's the KSK, the root key, and this zone signing key. They're split across two organizations. We have to be really careful. Even though that's not a private key, we have to be really careful how that's transported. So in the bottom of that diagram, you'll see that there's an exchange that we've carefully designed to make sure there's no impersonation. If somebody else claimed to be VeriSign and handed us a ZSK and we signed it, that could be a disaster. We've effectively validated the wrong route. So there's a lot of engineering that goes there. Okay. Let's go through this quickly. We're going to make this thing really secure. We actually already have safes in place. 7 tiers of security. No one person can get through all 7 tiers of security. 2 safes, 1 with the keys, 1 with credentials that allow you to use the keys, and in fact, it looks just like a safe deposit box. It's got 10 little boxes and 2 keys there. Okay. I was saying initially, we're trying to follow some of the practices that are done in the SSL space and certification space. A lot of work's there. It's one of the documents they have that publishes their practices and policies and procedures is something called the Certification Practice Statement, or CPS. We've created a DPS. This would be a document, certainly is not necessary for anyone, but if anyone is looking to deploy DNSSEC in a way that they want to garner more public trust in the system that they're offering, this is an excellent way to do this. There's a draft sample of this sort of document in the IATF right now. Great starting point. You know, this is a lot of legalese, a lot of real details. What happens if you have a disaster? These kind of issues. So it's good. This work is going to feed into that, or has been feeding into that, and there'll be at least a starting point for people who want to actually, you know, publish their practices. We're going to publish the KSK. Let me skip this. It's just a picture. All right. Now, this is something that I wanted to make sure you guys were aware of. Oh, I'm just going to say that because I'm among friends. Okay, there's some people that don't trust ICANN, don't trust VeriSign, don't trust U.S. government, don't trust anyone, right? So how do you build a system that people are going to trust? given you have many different players, entities in the system. Well, what you do is you make the community part of that trust. And so what we have come up with, this is still all work in progress. We haven't picked any, you know, any people yet, or we haven't even decided which entities, but the CCNSO, GNSO, IAB, RIRs, ISOC, the idea is that we will choose crypto officers from these various entities who, without their presence, we will not be able to use the root key. So I can, sitting there with all this equipment, and we have all this, you know, cameras, auditor, witnesses, all this, but in order to make use of the key to sign the ZSK or to generate another KSK, we are going to pick, at this point, the number is 7, because that just happens to be what the hardware and the equipment does. But how many chairs? We have lots of chairs. Yeah, I mean, he's right. I didn't want to get into that. But, yeah, the facility build-out for this thing is a real pain. But we have two facilities being built out, one on the East Coast, one on the West Coast. And you have to have a big room so that everyone basically can be watching everyone else do, you know, no cards up their sleeves. And
I don't want to be picky, but can I just point out to you that East Coast, West Coast isn't internationalized in any way. It's actually... There is, yeah. I know that people on the East Coast think that the West Coast is something completely different, and vice versa.
I'm sorry. I need to spend more time with you guys. It's just myopic. But I'm trying. So we haven't decided exactly, you know, how this is going to work or who's going to be selected from these things. But the idea is that by requiring people that are not VeriSign, not ICANN employees, not U.S. government, to make use of this key, we've brought the community into the system. There's also this will also be true of a backup. We have this kind of absolute worst-case scenario. All the hardware fails at the same time. Backup of the key split up in 9 different pieces, 10 different pieces. And so the same pool, we would draw from the same pool of people to hold various pieces of this in case there was a complete catastrophe and we hadn't created it. But anyway, just thought... That's interesting. It'll be coming down the pike. Let's see. Auditing and transparency. Yes, third-party auditors, not us, coming in once a year and looking at our processes and signing off with a letter. Very typically, you know, you get an auditor to get in place to actually take some of the responsibility, but, you know, we'll have that letter published on our website. We'll also have... If someone wants to do this, external witnesses that might want to attend these, they're called key ceremonies formally. That's just a term of art. They're perfectly welcome to be there and watch the process as well. Okay, I'm going to skip over the details here. Yeah, big keys and, yeah, okay, keys rolling once a quarter. Two to 5 years, we will roll the KSK, the root key. The idea there, it's variable because rolling a key is really hard, and if it's the root key, you know, we really want to do it only when we have to. 5 years put there as an upper bound, because typically these crypto boxes have batteries that only last 5 years. Simple. So, you know, if you're going to have to replace the box, might as well roll the key. All right. Validity periods. I don't want to get into this. This is kind of technical. Jumbo here. All right, and as far as the bottom of the slide, there's this key signing request. This is how we exchange the keys between VeriSign and ICANN, and it's really secured. It's encrypted 5 different ways. Even on top of that, after we've exchanged the key, we verify everything with a phone call. So there'll be a red phone somewhere. I need to find some red phones, but a red phone between the two entities. No, I'm not kidding. We'll find a red phone, and the two entities, and we'll read out the hash, basically, you know, of the keys, so that you know, absolutely sure. Okay. All right. And so the other part, we publish the root trust anchor, the KSK. That's going to be one of ICANN's jobs. We'll publish it in many different ways. Probably also in a newspaper and, you know, in print somewhere. But on a website, to make it simple, it'll be in XML wrap format, so automated systems could pick it up, you know, if they want to. We're also going to put it in the form of certificates. And that's sometimes contentious because, you know, we're the internet, we're not, you know, the ITU, we're not PKI. But it's we want to leverage, again, the existing tools that are out there. I mean, it would really be nice if someone, even with a Windows machine, you know, clicks on a link with the key, and this would pop up, and they'd be able to see the contents of it and make sure that the private key and the public key actually, you know, one corresponds to the other. So there's hope there. Something that spins out of this is that it's perfectly allowable then for third parties to also attest to the validity of that key signing key. So we publish this root key and we say, you know, we think it's right, but we may have an external witness that's part of the ceremony. They could look at this and say, you know, I also believe that was done right. And then so they can sign the KSK with their key, and it becomes a certificate then that they can, if they want, offer to their constituency. And it could have a limited time frame. They could do however they want to do this, and this could be published to their group, and they could trust this other person instead if they, again, didn't trust us for some reason. Perfectly fine. All right, so I'll go through this relatively quickly, but we do have a plan for deploying this thing without breaking too many things. We're going to do it a few root servers at a time. And that way, if there are some systems out there and applications that cannot handle, and we've all heard of the possibility of that, cannot handle the larger packets that DNSSEC is going to stick in the root, we'll have a way to back out in case there's a serious problem. One of the tricks we're going to do here, this will begin in January. Okay, so July 1, deployed, root is signed. But July 1, the root is deployed. In January, we're going to start testing publicly, okay? Yeah, sorry, so there will be testing. And we're going to test in such a way that people don't immediately embrace this thing and start relying on it, because if they do, it becomes harder for us to then pull the plug if there's a problem. So just how we came up with that design. So here's a quick timeline. December 1, we'll start, VeriSign and us, we'll start playing and doing some things. But January, you'll all see larger packet size. It won't affect anything. Nothing will really be signed. Things won't really work. But this is, we're expecting this to be, if something's going to break, it's going to break then. So that's the goal. And then July 1.
In January, you're going to have dummy signatures.
Yes, dummy and ones that cannot be validated, because maybe not so much here, but there are a lot of geeks out there that as soon as they see this thing, they're going to say, "Oh, it's signed," and they're going to try to start using it. It's like, no, it's not. You know, it's not the final version, and we want to protect against that. Currently, we're looking for feedback from people, both you know, Department of Commerce and as well as us, you know, ICANN and VeriSign. We're looking for, you know, how people think about this. I mean, is there maybe a different way to deploy it? Maybe our designs are good. Like I said, in a few weeks, maybe in a week, you'll see more details of this full design, and you can look at it and say whatever you want. That's the team. This is definitely not alone. Not just a few people. These guys have all come together, and I'd even say that we've all worked together very well. VeriSign has been very forthcoming and offering a lot of its cryptography expert staff that works in some of the SSL field that they have, and some of these people, you know, like Jacob Schleter is Mr. .se, you know, and so these are also very trusted and very intelligent folk, except the one named Lamb. Anyway, that's it. I hope that wasn't, you know, too fast, but you know, my main point is that it's been a long road. I have to thank a lot of the people in here for that the survey that you guys filled out regarding DNSSEC and Gabby for that. That's this whole design, as it's described at Department of Commerce, is an interim solution. As we move forward, it's very important to get information like the results of that survey, as well as other efforts, into the process so that we know how to improve the system. And I'd like to thank, you know, all the CCO and NSO members that worked on that survey and answered that, because that was very helpful. If there's any questions.
Thank you, Richard. Any questions? Just a quick one, Andre. Gabby, could Andre have a microphone, please? Gabby, Kim, Kim, Gabby, whichever.
Wonderful little plugin, by the way.
Yeah.
Your Firefox plugin.
Thank you very much, and thank you for the presentation. I think the process how we would like to start the root signing is excellent. I'm very happy with that. Cool. The only concern I have is how quick can be the DS record publication in the root zones from the time I send it to you to the time that it's published in the root zone. And what value brings to the whole system the NTIA checking? Can it happen that NTIA can stop my DS record to be published? Or
well, some of that I'll defer to Kim as to how fast that can be processed. These things will be processed just like NS records. So, like the processing of regular changes to the root zone. DOC has never not published something.
But
so
they can.
They can.
Yes. Okay.
All right.
I know they haven't, and I don't subscribe to the theory that they ever would, but technically they can.
Yeah. And you know, I mean, I don't personally. I mean, this is an opaque string. I mean, I don't see.
Yeah.
You know, I don't see any issues here. So, but you asked a specific question about how quickly we could do this. Yeah. I'm getting that question from many people. So
Kim?
Can you say something about it?
One of the requirements for making any changes to the root zone as per the INA contract is that the US government must authorize every change. We have no indication that that would change. That's something the community needs to take up with the US government. We're as contractors, merely doing what we're told in that specific respect. In terms of the normal processing time, I envisage that the IANA processing would be very brief. So looking at historical trends in root zone management in recent years, once a DS key has been submitted to us or a request to remove a DS key, I'd imagine it would be to the US government within one business day from IANA's perspective. Typically, the US government takes about one business day to authorize a change. Then it usually takes one or two business days for VeriSign to implement. So particularly given that unlike NS records, there's often some questioning about, you know, technical checks, failures, I don't believe that will be the case with DS records, so it should be relatively straight through processing, but it would still be a number of business days from submission to
implementation. You're going to need to take this off for now. We're going to need to stop now because we have to rearrange the room, but we can take the conversation out with Kim and Richard. Thank you very much, and thank you, Kim, for also staying around for most of the last couple of days to answer numerous questions without notice. Ladies and gentlemen, we've reached the end of the members' meeting. The council meeting is going to start at 4 o'clock, and it's going to start at 4 o'clock sharp because we have a couple of us actually have to be elsewhere at 5 o'clock for another meeting. So the guys are going to rearrange the room really quickly. If you want to stay and watch the council meeting, that's entirely fine. If you're councillors, could you please not go too far? 4 o'clock start, and there should be coffee outside, I believe. And Gabby wants to say something about invitations. If you put your name down for dinner, Gabby has tomorrow night CC dinner. Gabby has the dinner tickets. Hey. Oh, and don't forget to fill in the survey for today. Gabby will send out the URL so that you can fill in the survey on whatever the name of the site is that the survey's on. Thank you all very much. Council at 4 o'clock.